Yo, GMP fans, I'm gonna get through this intro without laughing, I promise. Stallone just said he's making Rambo 5 and Creed 2's coming out later this year, so we thought, let's do First Blood Part 2, yeah!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Wow, wow.
That one got a standing ovation
yep,
from me.
Yep, stick a fork in it. This show is done. That was the worst intro.
That was a winner.
Yeah, we'll play the rehearsal tape of it online that you recorded, because I did it better.
It was better. It was in the moment, I was like, damn, this is good. This isn't, you didn't screw this up at all. But now it's good in comparison to what you actually did.
Yo, Adrian. So we're talking about we've strayed away from doing some classic 80s action, awesome guilty movies, and this week we are back with a vengeance with one. It's been hotly requested, First Blood Part 2, because Rambo 5 has been it's coming out. We thought that John Rambo...
That is one fewer than Sharknadoes.
There we go. Yes, yes.
Not just to tie it into last
week. You know, yeah. Rambo has some catching up to do.
Yes, they sure do.
So Stallone is 71, I believe, if my math is correct. He's 71 years old.
We're talking years old? Cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I just wanted to clarify.
He's 71 years, yes. And he's going to come back as John Rambo. And there's a video on his Instagram of him doing chin-ups with two 100-pound weights attached to his waist. I'm like, the guy's 71! And he's doing something I probably will never do in my life. Half his age.
Seems against doctor's orders. I don't know what kind of regimen he's on, but I can't imagine
just
anyone would be like,
badassery.
Definitely do that.
And he's doing Creed 2, where Ivan Drago's coming back, which I don't know if any diehard followers of me, all three of you, I was on Movie Fights like a year ago, and we were supposed to pitch a sequel, maybe 2 years ago, to Creed, and I pitched Ivan Drago's son. My pitch was Ivan Drago's son, we follow him, and we realize that Ivan Drago wasn't actually a bad guy. He was just forced to do this by the Russian communist machine.
Sure.
And he was pumped full of steroids, and he had a lot of roid rage, and now there's like this kind of like coming together, and he regrets killing Apollo Creed. I don't know if they'll go with it, but you know, it's out there if you guys want to do any rewrites.
I'm not going to say that
there's a big epic battle, and then they're friends at the end, kind of like Apollo and Rocky.
Oh, that's fun.
You know?
Yeah. And like I said, I'm not going to say that you were not the motivation for this, because that is unverified.
It is unverified.
Yeah.
You can't prove I wasn't.
I'm not going to try and prove it.
You can't. So anyway.
Feels like a waste of time.
And I love the Rambo movies. They're super fun. This one's my favorite, although the first movie, First Blood, is actually the best movie. Because, Jesse, you haven't seen any. Have you seen any of them?
No.
None of the four?
No.
Okay.
Well, now I have.
Well, you've seen one, yeah.
Now I've seen one. I do also, before we really get into this, I do want to apologize for my voice. It has been slowly deteriorating all day.
It sounds awesome to me.
However you receive it. It is different.
We can't verify if it's awesome or not. We'll find out.
I just know that it's different. I did...
it is Jesse, in case you're listening.
It is me.
It's not someone faking being Jesse.
I do want to walk you through the 5 minutes before the show when I tried to find tea, and then I couldn't find honey, even though it was right there. This is my first time drinking tea, like, ever, it seems like, maybe. And I tried to find honey, and then I couldn't find a spoon, so I'm stirring it with a fork.
Stirring with a fork.
So there's a lot going on with me right now, and
hey,
I'll do my best to focus on Rambo First Blood Part 2.
You know what? Your best is all I ask for.
I appreciate that so much.
So, just to give you a little recap, Jesse, because you haven't seen First Blood.
Please do.
First Blood is more of an action drama. It is an action film, but it's more dramatic and serious, and it got really good reviews. It's kind of like the first Rocky movie, how the first Rocky was up for Best Picture. I can't remember if it won or not. I'm an asshole. I should know this. But Rocky, great reviews, critically acclaimed, audiences loved it. First Blood is about a Vietnam vet coming home. He's you know, he's disillusioned by how America treats the vets, and it's really poignant and has a very powerful story. He goes nuts and kind of is like hiding in the woods, and there's a sheriff after him and stuff, and I can't remember all the specifics because it's been years, but there's like this great monologue at the end where he's like breaks down in tears, and he's saying like how he saw his best friend die in front of him and all that stuff, and it's raw, and it's some of Stallone's best acting. And then this one, they were like, screw it, super awesome action film, that's it. And it becomes like a cartoon. But I respect First Blood more as a movie, but I love this as just sheer... this is like a quintessential 80s cheesy amazingness.
So that's so funny because, again, not having seen the first, there are a couple like major films from my childhood that I just missed and now almost feel like it's too late. But I should go back and watch it. It's never too late. You're right. But, you know, like, I can't have a first viewing party or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Everybody else,
has seen it 10 times. But when I think of Rambo, having not seen any of the movies, First Blood Part 2 is what I think of.
Yeah.
Him just like, screaming muscles with a machine gun. Yeah, holding the clip.
Yeah.
And just firing away at folks in the jungle.
Yeah.
That's how I picture it.
I actually remember there was a Rambo cartoon in the 80s.
Mm.
And the dolls were like almost like Barbie size. They were decent sized action figures. And I actually had the Rambo Buddha necklace too that I would wear as a kid that I thought was so awesome.
Did it protect you?
It did. I mean, I'm here.
Yeah, you did it.
I can't verify it didn't.
Right.
So I think it did.
A lot of assumptions working in this show.
Isn't it crazy? We'll get to it. But the second she gives away her good luck charm, bad move. Bad move. Yeah. Her name's Ko. I figured it out. Ko. I don't think they ever say it.
So good news. I was watching it with subtitles, so I knew it the whole time.
Oh, they did?
Ko, yeah.
Did they say it or just say Ko was speaking?
They may have just said Ko was speaking. But I picked it up at some point.
Why were you watching it with subtitles?
I was too lazy to turn the subtitles off. And also... The best part about the subtitles on this movie is whenever they're speaking Vietnamese, it's brackets speaking Vietnamese. They don't translate it. It's just,
I love it.
Yeah,
that's
great. Pretty good.
So, all right. You know, I want to know what I thought about this movie when I first saw it. I actually hadn't seen it when I was younger. I saw First Blood. I hadn't seen any Rambo movies, really. I saw First Blood when I was in high school, and then I didn't see any of the other ones like I should have. I missed that boat. But then when Rambo 4 came out, I saw that and I was like, oh my God, this movie was insane. Part 4 is so violent. And he just like, basically the third act is he just gets behind a giant, like huge cannon of a gun and just blast. And it's just like, he's just blasting bad guys. Just body parts are everywhere. And you're just like, holy crap. He disembowels people with his knife. It's nuts. And so I was like, I got to watch 2 and 3 now.
Yeah.
2 is awesome. 3 gets so ridiculous and it's kind of, I don't know. 3 is not my favorite, but 2... It's co-written by James Cameron. Stallone and James Cameron co-wrote this. There are so many
of Titanic,
of Titanic and Terminator 2.
Yeah,
there are so many moments where I cracked up, and it's ridiculous. But I love nearly every minute of this movie for what it is, and this to me is everything this show is about. Like that kind of cheeseball, but you love it. I don't feel guilty about loving it at all, though. It's definitely a guilty movie pleasure, but I don't feel guilty.
No, this was definitely like, just put your foot on the accelerator and let's go. Let's do it.
The whole helicopter thing in the end, which we'll get to. But
yeah.
It's like just 10 minutes of just blowing stuff up.
Drop them in the jungle and let the chips fall.
Yeah. So what do you think of it, having not been initiated, and your prior expectations to what Rambo would be since of all the clips you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is sort of what I expected, was just sort of like not fully fleshed out setup, just like we're putting him in the jungle
immediately
with sort of a flimsy operation that he's pretty wise to it being a corrupt operation right away and decides to go anyway. Just like they even set it up like, we don't want you to rescue anyone, and it's like, okay, then why did you pick Rambo?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They could have picked anyone.
Pick a National Geographic photographer. Pick someone who's good at taking pictures. You don't need Rambo.
Literally anyone.
But yeah, it was just very clear what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just a ride.
Did it pay off how you wanted it to?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's completely absurd.
It's completely absurd. And not to jump all the way to the end, but it pays off the way I wanted it to, even in that very last moment where he's just like, I'm done. And he walks... Into where? Into absolutely nothing.
With no shirt on, no money, no shirt. Nothing to his
just
name.
Just no plan. Just, I'm going to walk in this direction, I guess.
It's
very weird.
It's so good. Oh, my God. Are you showing some of the posters? Is that what we got up there?
I was digging something up over here, but I didn't put it on screen just yet.
Right. Dig it up. Dig up whatever you want. I love this movie. So let's get into it. Let's get started. And at the end of the show, which, Jesse, you'll have to remind me and Steve in case I get scatterbrained.
Yes.
We're going to give you a way to win Deadpool 2 tickets to MX4D at the Chinese theaters, at TCL theaters in Hollywood. We've done the MX4D format. The guys came on the show last week. It was super fun. We're going to try and go see Deadpool 2 next week. And maybe you'll end up at the same screening as us. That would be crazy. But yeah, we're gonna tell you at the end of the show how to get 2 free tickets to MX4D in Hollywood. So TCL Theater. So stay tuned. Don't turn that dial. All right. Now,
that's a nice tease.
There we go. Look, see, I didn't just say it in the beginning because then people would just tune out. So let's do this under 3 minutes. Why don't we do that? The plot in under 3 minutes. You ready in the booth?
Yes, sir, I
am. All right, Steve.
All right, here we go, guys. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so we start off in a prison, and we get the general, Troutman is there, and he's saying, Rambo, you gotta come back. We have the most overt mission to get you into a sequel ever. There's these POWs stuck. We need you to go behind lines. And he goes and meets, he's like, I'm not gonna do it. And he goes, okay, yeah, I will. And then he goes and meets Murdoch, who's this bureaucrat douchebag. And there's these other guys that are kind of douchebags, too. These other soldiers that are more mercenaries. And they're like, all right, we just need to take photos. It's just recon, and then you come back to the drop point, and that's it. And Rambo goes off there into the jungle, and here we are.
Yeah, so first he gets caught up in the plane when he's trying to jump out, and he almost dies, but they cut him loose, or he cuts himself loose. He lands in the jungle, and then he runs for, I guess, 12 hours, because he goes from dark to light, and he's still running. And he runs into Ko, who they almost kill each other.
He was Ko was his contact.
Yeah. Yes, but then they realize that they're supposed to meet up. She takes him to pirates, who take him on a boat to this camp that's supposed to be empty.
Balls.
Yeah, they sure are. And they go to the camp, and they start seeing movement at the camp.
And then they realize, oh, wait a minute, there's actually POWs here. So he goes in there, he, oh God, what happens? He goes in there to rescue them, and he ends up, he gets one free, right? And he gets, and ends up, he gets out, and then Ko sneaks off, he tells Ko to go, and then he goes to take the one person as evidence to the rendezvous point with the helicopter, but then Murdoch's like, you gotta turn around! Turn around! And Murdoch's like, if we have to start this war all over again, he's being like totally like a politician at that moment, like, we don't need to show the people that we failed again, there's no soldiers out there, just leave them die! And General Troutman's like, screw you, buddy! But then he can't do anything, his hands are tied.
Yep, so the helicopter goes away,
and then the soldiers converge.
And then the soldiers converge, they, at this point, they capture him.
Yeah. And they have him slung up in poop water.
Yep. And then the Russians come.
The Russians come,
like, take him out. We got to torture him in a different way.
Yeah. Helping him up to a wireframe mattress and electrocuting him.
Yeah, they electrocute him. And then Ko pretends to be a prostitute, and she comes into the village.
Shoots
and,
up underneath the floor.
Yep. And she...
And he knocks him out with a microphone thing.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He gets free. They shoots up a whole bunch of people.
Yep.
And then Ko and him run into the jungle, and they have a little romantic moment, a kiss. She gives him the necklace. She walks off, immediately gets shot.
Immediately gets gunned down.
He goes nuts and shoots everybody. Then he runs into the village.
Yep.
And he
frees everyone, basically.
Yeah. Well, no, he runs into the village first, and all the soldiers are converging, and he sets all these traps to catch him on fire.
That's right.
Then he goes back to the village, frees everybody. They get into a helicopter. They fly off in the helicopter. At first, he goes back in the helicopter that he just stole from the Russians, and he's blowing everything up. He's blowing everything to smithereens. He gets them in there. He gets the POWs in there, and then the big helicopter comes flying after him.
Yeah, and they get him, and he crashes into the water, and then the Russian helicopter comes.
He crashes.
Yeah.
He plays dead.
Right.
And then he goes, and then he goes back. All the POWs are safe, and then he punches. He shoots up all the computers, and then he goes and punches Murdoch, and then he says, I'm going to live day by day. And General Troutman goes, see you later, Rambo.
Yep.
That's it! Oh, we have time to spare. I even dragged out the ending a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, my. There's so many fun things about this movie. First and foremost, the setup is amazing because there's not even any hiding how overtly set up the sequel is. How it's like, it's everything you want out of, it's something so pure and ridiculous that happened in 80s and early 90s action films where it was like, you're the only man for the job. We need you. You're a one-man army.
Except,
and you're like, yes.
Except not, because I'm pretty sure in the beginning he said the computer spit out 3 names, and you were one of them. It's like, we never met the other 2 names. We have no idea who those people were.
Maybe the skinny POW guy.
Maybe.
He was one of them. Yeah, they already said the first 2.
Who knows?
So as I took the, I didn't know there was going to be a lull there, and I took the
That's
longest
right.
sip ever. Excuse me. So there we go. Whenever there's a lull, just put shirtless Stallone in his wide stance with the rocket launcher.
What video is that? Or is that just an image?
Just the image of Stallone looking like a boss.
Movie poster, guys.
Oh, okay.
No, what does it say? No man.
It says no man, no law, no war can stop him.
Oh, that's an interesting twist because I thought it meant like. He's not a man. There's no law there. There's no war here. Oh, never mind.
No, he's... I think we have the clip of, like, to win the war, you have to become the war.
Yeah. Well, can we play clip number one? Because this is between Troutman and Rambo at the prison. Wait for it.
Sir, do we get to win this time?
This time it's up to you.
So good. So because it takes everything that was super dramatic and real in the first one, like the pain of being a Vietnam vet and being rejected by your country. And this one, it's like, it's a pure fantasy movie, which is kind of awesome because you can't recreate what you did in the first one. The only way to go is to make it a rah-rah soldier fantasy, which it succeeds so brilliantly in. And it's just, it's such a fun thing to see somebody who was crapped on by his government, who nobody cared about, who's now in prison, and now it's up to him to fix all the problems. Just like in Rocky IV, where it's up to Rocky to fix communism.
It makes sense that you would call on a boxer to
fix
do that.
The Cold War.
Yeah.
The Cold War, if you rewatch Rocky IV, the Cold War is done thanks to Ivan Drago and Rocky fighting and them basically hugging it out at the end.
It's good news.
You know, that's all it takes. What do we got here? Are these just more awesome images?
I believe it. Just the dynamics between Rambo and his boss man.
Stallone is a beast.
Yeah, he was actually super svelte in this movie. I didn't realize that he used to be, that he wasn't all bulk. Because now he's like super real bulky. Thick.
Yeah.
But he had a tiny, tiny waist in this one.
It's like ballerina waist.
Yeah, like he was.
Like a badass ballerina.
Very, very nimble on the jungle floor.
He was very nimble. I also love that. I feel like in the 80s, they either didn't have air conditioning on set or just everyone sweaty in every movie ever.
Yeah. They even, because...
They even say the jungle.
Murdoch was like, yeah, it's the hottest place I've ever been.
Watch any 80s action movie. Yeah. The good guy, I think it's because they're just so ripped that they're constantly sweating in real life. So they're just like, just write it into the script that he's always sweaty.
Sure.
And they're just glistening. I wonder how much of that is makeup and how much is just raw man sweat.
It's all raw.
All raw. Hashtag raw man sweat.
Raw man sweat.
So don't look up that hashtag. It might be horrifying. So let's do clip number two. This is what I titled Exposition!
Rambo John Jay, born 7-6-47, Bowie, Arizona, of Indian-German descent. It's a hell of a combination. Joined the Army 8-6-64, accepted Special Forces specialization, light weapons. Cross-trained as medic, helicopter and language qualified, 59 confirmed kills, 2 silver stars, 4 bronze, 4 purple hearts, distinguished service cross, and medal of honor.
I mean,
wow.
If that's not a resume, I don't know what it is.
I mean, that doesn't get you in the door for a photography mission.
But honestly, what's that dude doing in jail?
Well, you got to watch the first one.
But still, like, presidential pardon, anyone? You know what I mean? Like, all those medals?
Who was president around this time? Was it Reagan? That might be why.
Was it
Carter?
I mean, around that time or around the time of the film?
Around the time the film takes place.
The time of the film was Reagan.
But the film, when it takes place,
it takes place in the 70s.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so
it would be like...
Nixon.
Probably.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, Nixon's not pardoning him. No. Here's not a crook. We go, they want to, like you said, it's ridiculous that they hire the world's biggest badass to just take photos. And you know immediately he's not going to do that.
Of course.
It's awesome.
And, like, to be honest, this is not important. I don't know if they even gave him a camera.
Do you
remember him having a camera?
Oh, yeah. They gave him a camera.
Do they?
Do they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They totally did.
Okay.
Because it was when he was actually finding pictures for the POVs were actually in the camp. It went from a recon mission to a rescue mission.
That's right.
And when he was wanting to rescue them, his higher-ups were like, nah, you ain't doing that. We're putting a gun in your head. We're taking you back to base. You're getting ass court-martialed.
I like Steve. You're an expert at this movie, I feel like. Is this one of your faves?
It is one of my faves.
I love it. Nice. I love it. Chime in anytime then. There's great little moments though where they do drop in some real stuff and they try and drop some knowledge on us. Like when they're like, we got the greatest computers in the world here. Look at this. It's the greatest weapon out there. And he's like, I've always said the mind is the best weapon. You know, like this guy who's like just shoots up everything and who, like, is all about brute force.
For all intents and purposes, is brain dead in this movie. Like, he has a 40-mile stare through the entire film. And it's just like, I'm here to fucking kill people. Oh, damn.
Now we're explicit.
I'm so
sorry.
Can
we bleep that?
Oh, no.
We're trying so hard to not be explicit every time.
It's because I was doing an impression.
That's right.
Jesse, would never have said that word.
Never. You never swear. I've known you my entire 10 years, 12 years. So yeah, I love that. I love little things like that. And then the gearing up montage with like sharpening the knife and just like all that stuff is so 80s. Where it's like, shh, 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 boom, boom, shh, whoo, shh. It's just awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. I would never look that cool shirtless because it's just awkward chest hair and like kind of a muffin top. Mm. So just be like, oof. Oh, God.
I carve muscles. I shave muscles into my chest hair.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that and run with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
People don't know the difference.
No, they don't. No. It's just like in 300 where they drew it on with makeup for some of them. I mean, let's be honest. They were more ripped than me still. Then it's when they go on the plane, we realize Murdoch's a liar because he said he was in, some unit that wasn't, Stallone calls him out. Rambo calls him out on it.
Right.
That wasn't true. You're the only one I trust, Troutman. Gets on the helicopter. He gets caught up in a very harrowing first unnecessary part of the movie, but I love it.
Yeah. Well,
he gets caught up trying to parachute out.
Also, like why it wasn't like Murdoch was working for the Russians, right?
No.
Right, so why did he even have to lie about his service?
Because he wanted Rambo and Troutman to think that he was actually for the POWs and not show his hand that he's...
Yeah, but he's an army man.
He's not, though.
But he's there. He's, like, working with the army.
But the whole thing is he's basically, I think, trying to bury Rambo out there, too.
Sure.
You know, cover up, because Rambo knows, you know, how sordid and bad the Vietnam War
was. I guess so. It just seemed like a really unnecessary...
It doesn't make sense.
Please,
to jump in, guys.
Yes, please.
Murdoch's mission, first and foremost, was to say, yeah, we're going to go check out and see if there are any POVs here and expect... 100% that there was absolutely no POVs there, bottom line.
Because then they don't have to do anything.
Which is
POWs?
Exactly what made Rambo expendable when he found them.
Yeah. One man is expendable. I like when he says that because I'm like, oh, yeah, I love the Expendables. Have we done the Expendables on here? Oh, my God.
I was just
going to
say, I wonder if that was the
impetus for the Expendables.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Have you seen any of those?
No.
Dude, part two is the best. Part three, they tried to make it like a young kids come along and take over for the old guard. And you're like, that's not what we're here for. Uh-uh. We're not here for that.
No.
No.
I'm here for old people.
Part one and two are great. Anyways, we'll do one of those. Tell us which one you want. Expendables one or two on the show, and we'll do it. Anyways, he gets hung up on the helicopter, and he narrowly escapes, which I don't know why he's trying so hard for so long and just doesn't go for the knife
away.
Yeah,
just knife
it.
Just knife.
And then and Murdoch instantly thinks he's dead. Instantly, like, there's no way he could have survived parachuting into the jungle. It's like,
which is exactly what he was gonna do.
Yeah. What, Murdoch? Okay. But because he didn't parachute at the exact point, maybe?
I guess.
Murdoch's just looking for reasons to be like, he's dead, forget about the mission, which is kind of his MO. He wants to sweep this all under the rug and move on.
Yeah.
Because Vietnam is a stain on his record. And then you pulled the clip where he meets Ko in the jungle, but first there's the snake sneaking up behind him, and you're like, oh, snap. And he grabs the snake, looks, and just like stares at it with his 40-mile stare, and then just goes, you're not going to mess with me.
Not today, snake.
How badass is that?
Yeah.
Me? I'd see a gardener snake crawling across the hiking path, and I'm like, ah! Rambo's like, you're poisonous? Not as poisonous as I am.
I was in...
this is what poisons. Am I right?
You're totally right.
Keep going.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a Stallone story in a second.
Yeah. I was in Costa Rica about 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told when we were there, palm is one of their big exports.
Yeah.
And the palm trees, they have farmers who farm the palm trees all day. But what happens is the palm leaves fall down and it provides shelter for snakes who then protect the palm trees from other predators. So these whole fields are covered in hidden snakes.
Ugh.
And the farmers have to wear boots up to their knees to protect themselves from poisonous snakes trying to protect the palm trees from predators who they assume these people are. And I was like, I would like to leave. I don't want to be anywhere near this place.
Can we go back to the beach?
Right.
Somewhere other than here.
Yeah, yeah.
So we meet Ko, and can we play clip number three?
Did not expect a woman, no.
Did not expect a woman, no.
This was the beginning of a series of very troubling lines for Ko.
I do respect the fact that she's not a damsel in distress like these movies usually make them, where she actually is the reason Rambo's able to escape. You know, she has a good head on her shoulders. She's badass. She is a problem solver. She's not in a lot of these 80s movies. The women are just like, what do I do? You know, unless it's the villainous, you know? Right. So that was refreshing. Yeah. But some of the dialogue written for her,
the dialogue was tough.
A little tough.
Yeah.
A little tough.
That's
there.
Okay. It's forgivable.
Right. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was, let's blame Cameron. Let's blame James Cameron.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. That was a Cameron.
That
call.
Guy has gone off the deep end with, like,
you're talking about Titanic
shaming. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
he's been crapping on Wonder Woman. He took a dump on Star Wars. He said, like, he hopes people have Avengers fatigue. And I think he's just mad that no one cares about Avatar, and he has like four of them, or three or four of them coming out. Ooh. And it's like,
and may I still point out, fewer than Sharknado.
Still, hey, until you can catch up with Sharknado.
That's all. That's my standard.
Marvel has 19, so beat that Sharknado.
Yeah, do your best.
Do your best. I wrote, I think it's called Chekhov's Gun. Whenever you see a gun in a play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from like the Seagull, for instance, where there's a gun and then in the end he kills himself. This one, I called it Chekhov's rocket launcher. Cause as soon as you see that on a pirate boat, you're like, oh, that's being used multiple times. Yeah. And if it's not, I'm pissed.
Right.
I'd have been so mad if he didn't use it. I remember my Rambo action figure actually had a rocket launcher that you pushed the thing in and you pressed it and it shot out. Like, I think they outlawed all those kind of toys. In nowadays, because I think they're like, kids will put their eye out. And we had all kinds of G.I. Joes and stuff that shot things.
But didn't they tie like a string to it? Like a little, you know, so you wouldn't lose it? At least with maybe some of them, right?
Some of them, but I know a lot of my G.I. Joes, it just shot out. It was just like, boom.
Yeah.
They were very...
Not with a force that you could hurt anyone with, though, right?
Enough that some parent somewhere complained.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, parents ruin a lot
of
stuff.
I hate parents.
Ugh, they're the worst. I am one.
Speaking of Mother's Day.
So, let's play... you got clip number four. This is a good one. So, first off, the pirates, you know already that they're going to get murdered off somehow because they're...
We forgot in the plot in under 3 minutes to mention the boat fight.
Yeah.
The boat fight was great.
Yeah, well, the boat fight happened later on. It's incredible.
Right.
So, at first you're like, oh, these pirates are womanizing scumbags. They're totally going to get it later, and they do, and it's awesome, and we'll get to that. But first, clip number four.
Survive a war. You gotta become war.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means, but it sounds awesome.
It sounds great.
You have to become war. So again, back to his, I've always thought the mind was the greatest weapon. But really?
Yeah.
It sounds like just shooting things.
Did Rambo have like a plate of Chinese food and just really get into the fortune cookies before this movie?
They're just all very war-centered.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be amazing. I think also what I love about this movie and like Commando is when the good guy just run, when the bad guys are aiming with automatic weapons and can't hit him.
Right.
And he just turns around and Arnold does this too in Commando and just like, they just turn on, and they're just flinging it around as if flinging it makes the bullets go faster.
Yeah.
Like in Desperado too, when he goes like he's throwing the bullets out of the gun.
Yeah.
My firing thing broke, so I gotta throw the bullets out. I gotta fling them out of this.
Well, not just the spraying, but I think like right after Ko died and he's firing on the four people that shot her, he like is pushing the gun forward
as if
to like accelerate
it's
his
so
bullet.
Good.
Yeah.
I love it so much. Oh, this movie's fantastic. You know, and there's some good stuff here about the soldiers being forgotten. They keep coming back to that, which I think works. I think it works really well to tie into the first film, even though the rest of it's a giant cartoon. What did I say? Where's the next thing? They go into the... Oh, yeah. So they scope out the camp. He sneaks in, and there's a tarantula. There's POWs. And the way that we know that they're in trouble is they're all emaciated. They have tarantulas crawling on them and snakes.
And rats.
And rats, that's right. And Rambo frees the one that's strung up, and he knifes one dude and arrows another guy in the tower.
Yeah.
He just arrows everybody.
Yeah.
He was Katniss before Katniss.
He had an unlimited number of arrows.
Unlimited.
So he didn't realize.
I don't know where to...
He hit it in his camera, I think.
Because every time he shoots somebody, I'm like, dude, get that arrow.
Yeah, go get it, man.
Like, you don't have unlimited arrow. I guess you do.
Yeah. My other favorite thing, we were talking about, like, the ways he was shooting and the ways he was killing people, is when, like, the one enemy is firing on him, and he just calmly stands there and slowly aims and takes one shot and gets him.
And he gets explosive arrows later on. Steve, do you know why he didn't use explosive arrows earlier?
Is he trying to be covert?
Or does he get them from maybe a weapon room that I'm forgetting?
I mean, I remember, okay.
Because just suddenly he's like, and you're like, what?
Pretty much.
Who cares? Who cares where he got him?
Yeah, he acquired weapons.
Yeah, that's
what
it was. He was being covert.
The POW camp.
Yeah. That's fine. And they go to the extraction point. Murdoch screws him over. They leave, and he's like, come back! And then he's taken hostage.
Yeah.
And he's strung up in a disgust. They make sure to show you animals are defecating in the water, if I remember right.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
Yes. But I think we again missed the water battle, didn't we?
Mm-mm. That's coming up.
That's coming up?
Yeah. That's coming up. Because then when they escape, we find out. Hold on. Wait, maybe we did. Do they get on the boat there? Do you remember, Steve?
I think they get on a boat to get to the extraction point.
Yep. That's right. And they're getting chased.
And the pirates have turned on them.
The pirates turn on him, and he beats the hell out of them. And and then they shoot up the boat with a Gatling gun, basically.
Yeah. They essentially get ambushed in the water.
Yeah.
It's stranded there, just pelted.
Oh, Rambo shotguns all the pirates. That's awesome. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
We're just like. Oh, it's so great.
Yes.
So great. And then the rocket launcher. He shoots the rocket. That's when he gets it out of the stool.
And then the other boat is on fire, and it's coming towards his boat.
Which, I think if a boat blew up, it would just kind of disintegrate. It wouldn't, keep traveling on a super fast crash course, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's too much awesomeness in this movie for my brain to comprehend it all. And it's hard when I watch it in pieces, because I have to usually I have to usually watch these movies in, half-hour chunks.
Sure.
Over multiple days, and then my brain is like trying to piece it all together.
That makes sense.
So the other boat crashes into that boat, and Rambo then he chokes out another guy and stabs it. There's a lot of stabbing and choking.
Yes.
A lot of necks breaking. I said nameless girl tells Rambo he's not expendable, but now we know her name's Ko. And so then this is where they're still running, and it just keeps going. He's still running to the extraction point. They're shooting mortars at him, and it's just the field's blowing up, and then clip number 5, we think everything's good.
United Rambo!
We're all like, movie's over!
You made it.
Yeah! You know?
It's a highly successful mission.
It's so excited. She's so excited for him.
Yeah.
And then, and then, it kind of goes to hell after that, because...
She also, I found it kind of funny that they, turned her into a possible romantic partner for him.
Strange.
Because, in that moment when he's about to save the POW, they just, break off.
Yeah.
She doesn't go with him to the extraction point. He's like, all right, that's it for us.
He tells her to leave to be safe.
Right.
But then later on kind of negates that and is like, I'll run away with you.
Yeah.
What? You're just going to...
She very agreeably is just like, cool. I'm out.
And then not to skip ahead to their romantic scene, but the whole mission of Rambo was, I got to save these POWs. And then she's like, let's run away together. And he's like, to Thailand. And then we're going to leave through Thailand and then go to London. And he's like, okay. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then all it takes is her walking out into the open and getting mowed down for him to just be pissed again.
Right.
But I don't understand. Steve, do you understand why he forgets about the POWs for 5 seconds and is like, all right, I need love. That's because that's what Rambo wants. He wants to settle down and have a peaceful life.
That's what it is.
I don't honestly know.
But he's become war.
There's some piece missing to that, though. I just can't find it in the back of my head.
And there's no
It doesn't sound like that's Rambo's nature. I mean, why would he freak out about the POWs and then just suddenly be like, oh.
I felt that way in the scene. So if anybody watching can connect the dots as to why he's like, all right, forget about it.
He was so smitten.
So smitten.
You guys don't know what the power of love is.
You don't. You don't know. What's club number 6? Who do you think you are?
Who in the hell do you think you're talking to, Trapman? A stinking bureaucrat that's trying to cover his ass.
Yeah!
Ooh! Boom. Gotcha,
Trapman's
Murdoch.
Getting pissed! And so this is some of the tete-a-tete we got with Trapman and Murdoch, and then Murdoch fires back in the next clip, because he's getting cocky. He thinks, what's the big deal?
Right.
It's done. It's done. It's all swept up. Forget about it. These soldiers are expendable. No soldier is expendable, you jerk. All right, let's play clip number 7.
You're the one who's making the mistake.
Yeah, what mistake?
Rambo.
yes! Yes! And I would love it if it just ended with Murdoch going,
Specifically what, though?
Like, just in general?
Generally, when I contracted Rambo, or mm-hmm. now that my dealings now with Rambo?
Because, I mean, if you thought it was a mistake in the beginning...
Wish you would have said something.
You really should have just preambled this whole thing. Just a preamble.
Just said something right up front. I would have gone with the other two people the computer spit out.
Yep. So now we got poo water and Stallone in it. We got Rambo tied up in poo water, and then the Russians come in.
Yeah.
Because as if the bad guy Vietnamese just after Vietnam wasn't bad enough. Now we tie in the Russians.
So this is the other thing that I love. Like, he's so perceptive to things that are not important or there. It's just like,
oh, that coffee's terrible.
Oh, be careful. It's just something that's gonna happen later, so they need Rambo to say it. But when he's on the boat with the pirates and he like pushes the thing aside with his foot, and it's in Russian, and he's like, Russians. Like, okay.
You're right. Oh, that's right. That's how he ties it, and that's how there's foreshadowing that the Russians are going to come in.
It's just like a two-second moment where he just pushes that aside, and he's like, Russians. Like, Russians. Okay.
Thinking Russians.
Yeah.
So then he's getting tortured, and we said co-infiltrates as a call girl.
Yeah.
And then she kills that dude and sneaks underneath the floorboards.
Yes.
And before that, we have nameless Russian bad guy and giant Russian bad guy torturing Rambo. Can we play clip number 8?
You are strong. Very strong. Strongest so far.
It just sounds like, now, see? Here's what we have, see? It's like an old 80s cartoon villain, see?
It's weird, like, pumping up the guy that you're torturing.
Yeah. Can we play that again? Because it gets me pumped.
You are strong.
Thank you.
Very strong.
Stop.
Strongest so far.
All right.
Well, I mean. Go on.
Go on. Tell me how much torture I can endure.
You.
Just shock me again so you can see how strong I am.
What are you doing after this torture sesh?
Probably going to torture some more people.
Oh, sounds hot.
So there's this awesome sequence where he's getting, I mean, they really love a close up of his hand. This is how they really show like, and he's getting electrocuted. Like,
yeah.
So what his most powerful weapon is getting fried right now.
Dang,
yo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad. So then I love that, Ko shoots up the floorboards, and then he picks it. Oh, they want him to get – the whole thing is they want him to get on the microphone.
Yeah, so they're about to kill – they're about to fire knife the POW's eye.
Yeah.
Because they ran it along his cheek.
Yeah.
And then they bring the POW in, and they're like, we're going to put this in his eye unless you radio your guys and tell him where you are so that we can bite them. Right? That's what it was?
He says something to the effect of, like, we want them to know that we have prisoners and they better not do any more aggressive moves. And it's like, I feel like saying you have POWs is going to inflict a more aggressive move on you. But hey, they're bad guys. They don't always think things through.
And then they make the mistake of not tying his hands up and allowing him access to the microphone rather than them just holding the microphone.
Yeah. And I love that he's clutching the microphone, and we have right before the place gets shot up, he's talking to Murdoch, and he you know what's coming in the final scene of this movie, and you can't wait. Can you play clip number 9?
Murdoch, I'm coming to get you.
I love that it's accented with lightning and thunder. Yeah, that's so good.
The whole like last 45 Murdoch. Minutes is lightning and thunder.
So good.
Yeah,
Murdoch, I'm coming for you.
That's so good.
But honestly, what he's really coming for are those computers.
Yes, he
He doesn't do barely anything to Murdoch when he gets there. He
punches him.
Talks, yeah.
Doesn't he punch him?
Yeah, but it's like...
But comparatively to what he does with those computers.
To what he does.
Those computers.
To the computers and the rest of the people in the jungle.
I mean, technically, those computers didn't do anything wrong.
They just spit out his name.
And I mean, that's technically government property where, you know...
Back to jail for Rambo.
Taxpayers paid for that.
Yeah.
Not Murdoch.
No. Nixon's
not
going to like this.
Come on, Rambo. Think this through. You use your most valuable weapon, Rambo.
No, at this point, he is war.
He is war.
So you can't you can't blame his weapon what his weapon
does. So he knocks the dudes out with the microphones. They escape. He takes a breather to smooch. And then he takes a breather and they smooch. And then she gets killed right after giving him. Which, by the way, I remember the necklace looking more badass. But this time it's such a choker and it's so tight on him.
Yeah.
He still can pull it off though, because Rambo's that badass. But try any other dude wearing a choker with a Buddha on it.
Yeah.
A green Buddha, and you're going to look silly.
I would have liked maybe...
When he talks, I like that it bounces around a little bit.
I was going to say like a 45-second clip of him struggling to get it on. Of him like sucking in and yeah.
All right. Trying this to find, is for you, Co.
Like a string extension or something.
That's in the deleted scene. Along with Rambo's motivation for leaving the POWs.
Yeah.
That's in the deleted scenes. Mm-hmm. And then he just... Then he's just sneaking in there covert style because now he's gone nuts and he's just like, I'm gonna wreck these dudes. He stabs a bunch of guys. He breaks a bunch of necks. My favorite is the two of my favorites are the hiding in mud.
Yeah.
Where he just randomly, I don't know how long it took him to cover himself in mud.
And he only did it once.
He just did it once.
That was my favorite part, is he's fighting. He must have killed like 20 people. Yeah. But one guy took the time to like.
It's awesome because it's a mud wall and all of a sudden, eyes. Yeah. And then the vine drag is great too. Mm-hmm. Because like the guy gets it wrapped around his foot and instead of screaming loudly, he's like, like he doesn't want to disturb anyone with his screams.
This is a covert scream.
And there's this great moment where Rambo pulls him in that I feel like it looks like Stallone thought they yelled cut because he like awkwardly like holds the knife like, I'm going to stab you, but doesn't do anything. Oh, man. And we forgot that when they escape, Stallone bare hands the barbed wire open so Co can get out.
Yeah.
And then later on just needs a little bit of a... It's like a paper cut for him.
I actually spent a lot of time watching this movie thinking about barbed wire and like the dangers of it and how you can get around it.
And
because he went through it twice, but the first time he like clipped it.
He's a beast.
The second time he just barehanded it.
He's a beast. Yeah, the second time he didn't have time to clip it.
No.
So there's tons of... We already talked about in the field how all Rambo needs is a dead chicken and some gasoline and these exploding arrows he found magically.
Yeah.
And it's so great because I love that he shoots the cars and the cars just blow up. But the best part of it is the lead Vietnamese soldier that we never really know his name, I don't think. And how he's just shooting at Rambo like 15 times. And Rambo, like you said, calmly stands there loading his explosive arrow.
Yeah.
And the greatest death in the movie is when he gets shot with the arrow and his body explodes.
He just explodes.
It's amazing.
You see the body parts just flying.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And then the Russians come and drop napalm and he swims away. And then they get too close to the water after they've mowed through the water with machine gun fire.
Mm-hmm.
But they get too close.
Yes.
I didn't know they were that low until Rambo jumps out and I'm like, how did he get it? Oh, they're that low to the ground.
Yeah.
Or the water. I guess the one guy, he just tosses like 4 feet and the dude's either dead or is just like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
He goes, I'm a jungle guy now.
I'm cool. Cool, Rambo. I've seen what you can do. We're good. We're good.
This is
go now, fight those guys.
Now this is my home.
And then the helicopter fight scene is pretty harrowing. Like they show from wide shots, actual stunt guys fighting in a fully moving helicopter.
Yeah,
what's crazy is all the helicopter stuff looks practical in this.
It sure does.
Didn't do CGI back then.
Yeah, it sure does.
And you're like,
and it looks terrifying.
This looks super dangerous.
Yeah.
But it goes to show you how practical stunts, like for the most part, the Fast and Furious movies and the Mission Impossible films, like when you see practical stuff, you're like, you're in it more.
Yeah.
Because you're like, this looks really dangerous.
Yeah.
And then I do wish that the big Russian guy got a better death than just falling out. Because for all we know, he could have just rolled off and been like, again, I'm joining your tour company.
Right.
Other Russian guy.
Yeah.
We'll start a tour guide company together. We survive Rambo.
They were going to go have a picnic together.
So now he's got a chopper and he goes in and I swear it's just 10 minutes of just, it's like a mixtape of just, it's just boom, pull the trigger, explode, shoot some guys. Somebody shoots back, explode, bam, bam, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I do want to point out also.
It's nonstop mayhem.
As he's doing this, what he should have been thinking about.
Did they move the POWs?
Yeah, where are the POWs?
She's just guessing they're all still in the one place.
I hope they're still there, and I hope there aren't more of them other places.
Because you didn't really suss out the whole
camp. Not at all. He just blew it up. Yeah.
But again, practical explosions. Yeah. These huts are blowing the sky high, and it's awesome. And then he gets all the POWs on the chopper, and you think it's done. Every time I think this movie's done, nope. Big bad Russian, now, see?
Yeah.
Comes in a giant chopper chasing him in another super harrowing chase where you're like, these are two choppers actually chasing each other. And there's a lot of times where it looks like Stallone was really flying a helicopter super fast. I don't know how they did that, but it looks real and intense and scary.
Helicopters make me nervous.
Boom, boom, boom. He shoots the thing, and Rambo's helicopter's spinning out, and it goes around the corner. And my favorite part of the movie, which I actually tweeted out the video of it, my favorite part of the entire movie is that Rambo, because his mind is his greatest weapon.
Sure is.
His next plan of attack is to play dead in the helicopter, and feasibly all the other soldiers too, the POWs.
I guess.
And knowing that Russian guy wouldn't just blast him immediately right. when he sees a fully functioning helicopter landed perfectly and not crashed.
Yep.
He's just like taking a nap, and the Russian's like, see? And he's about to
really
fight.
Really going
to
savor this moment.
And again, why didn't he just have the rocket launcher ready?
For when the chopper came around the corner?
He didn't need to play dead.
No, he sure didn't.
Is this the part? Oh, please just show it, because it's so good.
Yeah, give me 1 second, guys.
Okay. And then he shoots it through and blows up the guy, and it's fantastic. Here we go. Here it is.
So we see it, and he's approaching.
Yeah, and you're like, why doesn't he just shoot him right away? Why does he need to play dead right here?
No, this, maybe 5 times he could have killed him already. Yeah, yep. But instead he lowers.
He just wants to make sure he gets a clear shot. That's what it is.
I suppose.
But again, why wouldn't the Russian just go, okay, cool, he's dead.
Also, to be fair, like with the water and the cracked windshield, and even from that shot, I can't see anything that's going on inside the copter.
Yeah.
So he probably can't even see that Stallone's playing dead.
It's the best thing I've ever seen. Oh my God. Look at that look. Oh, it's so right good. So good. So then they go back. He knees the one mercenary in the balls. And he awkwardly sort of hits him with the gun, the butt of the gun, shoots up the computer saying, can we play clip 10A, the Rambo scream? 10A, sorry, yeah. So good!
Yeah.
It's so raw.
He feels a lot of aggression.
Again, taxpayers' money, but we get it.
Right.
We get it, Rambo. We forgive you. And then, you know, hey, things are well. He punches Murdoch. Murdoch, something's going to happen to him, I guess. And then Troutman and Rambo are walking off into the distance, and they have this conversation, clip 10. Oh, sorry. That's right. That's actually him to Murdoch still. Yeah. My bad. Keep playing that. I set it up wrong.
Mission accomplished.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Mission accomplished.
He like stabs the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's about to stab him. That's what it is. You think he's going to stab me? You're like, oh, man. Yeah. So this is Troutman and Rambo walking off into the distance.
How we live, John. Day by day.
I mean, that's a good plan.
Sure.
Where are you going?
Yeah, I would...
Ask for some clothing and some rations.
Although it is good to live day by day.
Yeah.
And live in the moment. It's also good to have a plan. Like a general overarching plan.
Something.
Yeah, just any sort of direction that you can give yourself is good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's going into a helicopter and flying. He's just walking off. Maybe I need to rewatch Rambo 3 and they fill in the gaps for you.
I don't know, because he also, like, they make a thing about how, like, the Vietnamese jungle is his home, but he's out of the jungle now.
He's probably going back there.
So, but it's far. They helicoptered in.
He ran for 12 hours.
That's true. Like he did run for 12 hours.
He's going to go back.
Like up a mountain.
Yeah. Well, this has been Rambo 2. We gotta tell you how you're going to win.
Oh, you remembered.
How you're going to win Deadpool 2 tickets, which I thought it would be fun. Two things you got to do. You have to follow at Guilty Movie Guys, and you have to follow MX4D underscore global. We will tweet that out as well. MX4D underscore global and at Guilty Movie Guys. And then we want to know what your favorite one-liner from the first Deadpool movie was. What your favorite Deadpool zinger was. Yep. I mean, there's hundreds to choose from because that movie's hysterical.
Choose any of the hundreds.
So you tweet that at us. You follow those two Twitter handles. And then we're going to pick a winner by this weekend so you can go see Deadpool 2 in MX4D. And if you missed last week, what MX4D is, it's this new premium format of theater where it's full motion seats. There's back pokers. There's wind effects. There's smells. There's strobe lights. It's insane. Yep. It's awesome, but it doesn't distract from the movie. It enhances
what was
it
the
a ton.
What was the butt one you were talking
the
about?
The butt poker?
Last night, the butt poker?
It's a seat popper. We decided it's a seat popper is what they called it.
I mean, we didn't decide that.
They did.
They did. We decided it was a butt poker.
But anyways, we had the guys on last week, Dan and Kirk. They were a blast to have on, and they've now offered to give away free tickets for our fans. So take advantage of it. Tweet at us your favorite Deadpool one-liner, and also follow at GuiltyMovieGuys at MX4D _global.
And,
all right.
And don't you dare tweet a one-liner from Pixels, because I'll know.
Don't you dare. We will know.
I will know.
We will know. Next week, Jesse won't be with us because it's his birthday, so send some birthday wishes his way, too. We won't give you anything for that except smiles.
Yep.
But Amy is going to be on our show, and we're going to pick a Guilty Movie pleasure of some sort from her list, and I don't know what that is yet, but I will make sure to tell you once I decide, which will be Tuesday, knowing my...
Pins and needles, pins you guys. And needles.
Wow. Maybe it'll be Pixels.
Ooh.
One of these days we'll do Pixels.
One of these days.
One of these days. Jesse, until next time, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse, and for sketch at The Prom Losers.
Yep, you can find me at The Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. And I didn't intro us in the beginning of the show. That's why I didn't accidentally call myself my Twitter handle.
That's right.
You can also find our parenting podcast that my wife and I do at Parents vs. Baby on Twitter and parentsversusbaby.com. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, just remember... If you can't become... I screwed up. You gotta be war, you gotta become... Who cares? What is your guilty movie pleasure?
We'd like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.